Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. My sermon title this morning is just three words, and they are Jesus, the answer. I would like to read, and I'll start from Matthew 27, the account of the crucifixion. This is not my text, but it is a backdrop that I would like to leave in your mind. I'm not going to elaborate on this passage much. I'm simply going to read it. I'd like you to think about this scene. Then we're going to move to an earlier scene in Jesus' life when he was in the business of doing miracles here on earth. And from these accounts, I would like to try to underline in my own mind and in your mind that Jesus is the answer. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." There were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be this King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8 for a text this morning. I'm going to be looking directly at Matthew chapter 8 and 9. And as you think about Jesus there on the cross, and I know that took place after this passage, but I think that makes this passage more powerful, the fact that Jesus could do and say what he did in Matthew chapter 8 and 9, even before his crucifixion, before his ascension back into heaven, how much greater his power today. Jesus, the answer. I have 7 points. Seven reasons why or how we can grasp the fact that Jesus is the answer. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. I've entitled point number one, a direct quote from this passage. If thou wilt, thou canst be made clean. Can you picture Jesus walking the dirt path with multitudes of people about him? And can you picture this down and out and diseased, dirty leper who was used to, when he saw a crowd, saying, unclean, unclean. And everyone would detour. But Jesus walks right up to this down and out, diseased, and dirty leper. And he does something that no one else would even dare to do physically. He reached out and he touched him. No one else would have done that because they didn't want the leprosy that this man had. They took a detour around him. This leper, it says, worship Jesus. And he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You see faith there. Faith in physical healing. Jesus' answer is, I will. Be thou clean. To you and I this morning, all of us, daily need an element of cleansing. And God wants to cleanse. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, the leper said. Do you and I share his faith this morning? In the small difficulties of life, in the great difficulties of life, do we share his faith and say that Jesus, I know that if you want to, you can cleanse me. If we do that, Jesus will say, I will be thou clean. Turning to Matthew chapter 9, probably one page over in your Bible, verses 27 to 31. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. A point that's similar to the last one. And yet there's a difference, I believe. At least the differences of emphasis. Point number two I have labeled, believe ye that I am able. Do you and I believe this morning that God is able? Believe ye that I am able. Taking this thought a little further with another section of verses, back to chapter 8, verse 5. Think about that. Believe ye that I am able. Jesus was interested in knowing whether the man believed that he was able. He's interested in knowing whether you and I believe this morning that he is able. Chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and unto another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Point number three follows point number two very closely. Point number two was a question. Believe ye that I am able. Point number three, as thou hast believed, it will be done. Do we grasp that this morning? Do we grasp the faith of the centurion that believed that Jesus didn't even need to bother coming? But he believed that Jesus had the answer, that Jesus, who we have the picture, the centurion did not have that picture, but we have the picture of the cross. We have the picture of him dying, shedding his blood for our sins. But do you and I believe as good as the centurion this morning? Do we have the faith that he had, that as thou hast believed, it will be done? That's what Jesus said to him. How much have you believed? How much have I believed? I think in my own life, a lack of belief at times causes some things to not be done. As thou hast believed, it will be done. I believe Jesus is still telling us that today. This man had, the centurion had a son who had a real physical problem. He was struggling. He was grievously sick and tormented. Spiritually speaking this morning, is there a spot in my life, is there a spot in yours that needs the healing of Jesus, the answer? I believe we all have those spots as we go through life. Let's believe that Jesus can do it. Point number four, another miracle recorded in chapter 8, verse 14. It's a very small account, only two verses. And because of that, and because of the words that are used in this little miracle, I've titled this point, "There is nothing too small for Jesus." And in my life, I will need to confess that sometimes I think there are. I've just not given God all the credit. Or not ask Him for everything in the small areas of life. God is interested in the small. Notice this miracle. Not much is said. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Maybe your need is small. Maybe it's just the common fever. But do we have the faith to believe that Jesus wants to touch us in that small way? Point number five, chapter 8, verse 23. A very familiar passage. I do not think I will read it. You've all heard the story many times of Jesus' disciples in the boats and the great storm that overtook them, and of them saying in verse 25, "Lord, save us, we perish." And then I take my point from the end of that verse. Jesus makes a great calm. That's another reason that Jesus is the answer to our lives. And the perplexities of life, the difficulties of life, is because Jesus can take a turbulent situation, a life-threatening situation, and he can, in the middle of that, he can create a calm. We've all faced life-threatening storms in life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. We may have felt like the storm is raging, but Jesus is the answer. He is the great inner calm. If we will do what the disciples did and say, "Lord, save us, we perish." Point number six could be taken from Matthew chapter 9, but I have chosen to take point number six from Mark's account. They are in Matthew. It's interesting that all of these are packed in two chapters in the book of Matthew. It's an interesting study for you to think about sometime if you want to read chapter 8, 9, and 10. I think that you will find 10 miracles there, all packed close together. I think Matthew had a reason for putting them all in two chapters. You study that sometime. Think about those two chapters. But I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Skipping over to verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha cumi," which is being an interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Again, I take point number 6 directly from this passage. I say unto thee, arise. You see the picture here. You know enough about death to know the realities of death. And you get the picture of a messenger that came to Jairus and said, "Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master. He's busy." And you see the picture of Jesus coming on this multitude of mourners. And that whole group of people had lost all hope. There wasn't a thing they could do about what had happened. The little girl was dead. There was chaos and mourning. The people had lost all hope. But Jesus said, "No, she's not dead. She's sleeping." Too often in human relationships, too often in my own life, I've lost hope in some situations. Perhaps you found yourself surrounded by people who have lost hope in you. And we as human beings tend to lose hope too quickly. But Jesus is telling us this morning, no, it's not beyond hope. I say unto thee, arise. Looking at the passage that we missed for the 7th point this morning, we missed verses 25 to 34. That is point number 7. I'll just read it to you. It's a familiar story, but I'll read it again. I love the story and the scene that is portrayed here. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, and she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Jesus is the answer this morning. I gave you 6 points why. Perhaps this one is not a point why Jesus is the answer. The miracle certainly tells us why Jesus is the answer. But my 7th point is in the form of a question for me and for you. And it's simply this. Will you touch his hem? This woman's faith was great. She didn't want to be noticed. She wanted to be privately healed. And she said, "If I just sneak up behind him, and I just reach out." And Matthew mentions the hem. Mark doesn't mention that, but Matthew does. She saw the hem of his garment. She reached out and she said, "If I can just touch it, I'll be healed." This morning, for the little things in your life, the little needs in your life, for the big needs in your life, for the chaos in your life, for anything that you face that seems maybe insignificant or maybe very momentous in our lives, will you touch his hem? Will you believe that there is power in his hem this morning? Jesus, the answer. "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Believe ye that I am able? As thou hast believed, it will be done." There is nothing too small for Jesus. Jesus makes a great calm. "I say unto thee, arise." Will you touch his hem? If you will this morning, you can go in peace and be whole. Shall we deal for prayer?